This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings, welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, Jim and Tom, and we're finally back after our almost 1 month hiatus, sabbatical.
Yeah.
It's not that we haven't seen each other. We spent a good weekend in the woods together. We've been working on fun other side fictional fanfic podcasts that we've created, but we're back with this one, the bread and butter of what got us to where we are. And this one's going to be a doozy because we're talking about a series that I, you know, going into it, I was pretty hyped up for because it was more superhero stuff. It was Image superhero stuff. It wasn't your Marvel DC. We were getting a whole new branch, and it was riding the heels of Invincible, and which was amazing. And it came out, and then it went, and then it got canceled. And we are talking about Jupiter's Legacy today. The Mark Miller introduction to the Miller world for Netflix. So let's just get it out of the way. Spoiler alert to follow for a series that you probably didn't watch. What I'll say is I remember when, I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, they announced that Netflix gave, you know, they backed the Brinks truck up to Mark Miller's house and said, we want everything. We want Jupiter's Legacy. We want Kingsman, Kick-Ass, Hit Girl. We want Sharky the Bounty Hunter, Super Crooks. We want everything. And he said, sure, let's do it. And this was the Who won him? This is the first introduction to his universe. And he said, all right, let's start with this one. You already know Kick-Ass. You already know Kingsman. Let's try something different while we work on, you know, the next chapter of those characters. And let's go Jupiter's Legacy. Because what does the world love right now? Superheroes.
Yeah.
And this is your, you know, superhero thematic show based off the comics. And man, it didn't translate well, at least to me. And this episode we're going to talk about our experiences. I've watched it all, and you trekked through as far as you could and decided that it wasn't worth the watch. And then 2 weeks later, quickest turnaround in Netflix history, I believe, it was canceled. So give me your thoughts on, you know, this series going into it and then what you were left with.
I've known from you and from Active Geek and you know, just watching and paying attention to comic books and comic book TV, that there is a Mark Miller universe out there. I mean, Kick-Ass was good. The movies were good.
Yeah. Some of the best Nicolas Cage we've ever seen.
Right. And I guess it was out there to be had. And Image is kind of steamrolling. I don't want to say like the alt, but the superhero parody, but it's not even a parody. I don't even know how to explain it, but you know, whatever Homelander
Invincible and Omni-Man.
Yeah. Whatever they are, they're not a parody, but they're kind of like a realistic take or, you know, the worst case scenario for Superman.
Yeah.
Somehow they pulled it off.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfortunate, not unfortunate, because they didn't, there's so much else they failed, but to come out after those two had come out, it just, that's a lot of pressure for a show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not being the most familiar with this concept and with Jupiter's Legacy, because it isn't, in my opinion, the comic books weren't the best.
No.
They were decent comic books. You know, they've been around for like, what, 13 years or so, right?
Yeah, between 13 and 20.
Yeah. So, but they weren't anything like incredibly special or unique. I think, you know, Kick-Ass, if we're going to compare it to his other stuff, Kick-Ass was just, it kind of felt like, you know, Spider-Man being placed in the worst case scenario because he's a high school kid and dealing with high school garbage. And, you know, it was diverse. It was different. It was no powers. It was, you know, it was just a bunch of vigilantes roaming the landscape. There was no, you know, and it felt at like any moment anybody could die, and that's what but it was realistic. It was kind of the most realistic out there. This was way different, and I, you know, it sucks, but you have to compare it to something. And when you're in a group, when your peers are the boys in Homelander and Invincible and Omni-Man, and that alone, comic book wise, is a tall mountain.
Yeah.
But then you watch what's come out on live action or animated, what they've produced, and you're like, oh my god, they started in a 10-foot hole, and now they have to dig themselves out, and I think they went backwards.
Yeah. So. When I was talking about this on Active Geek, I said, like, even when I was like midway through it, I said this is in between The Boys and the CW. Yeah.
And you had watched it before me and told me that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I still think that rings true, but the CW has taken so many steps backwards that they've gone to, like, they're the bottom. They're the bottom of superhero television. And then this one comes out and it starts off all right. I was engaged, you know, you have the battle with Black Star, you know, the rules, the code, everything, the costumes were great. And then it just kind of just turned into like Indiana Jones meets, you know, The Flash meets Superman and Smallville. And the issue I have, the main issue, was the spacing and the pacing of everything. Yeah. Because you're introduced to a bunch of characters very quickly. And maybe you get like three or four backstories for like Josh Duhamel, Ben Daniels, Leslie Bibb. That's it. And then Sky Fox, you get their backstories. And then you're left with the kids. You know, when it starts off what's his name? The Paragon. When you start with the Paragon eating, you know, a breakfast, having coffee in a diner, and then boom, you know, you have the villain of the day pop up. I was like, okay, I can get behind this. And then, you know, Red Foreman from that 70s shows pop up, and he's having, you know, flashbacks. He murdered his family, and then you spend 25 days on an island and on a boat. And, like, we spent more time in a flashback for a series that's called Jupiter's Legacy than we did focusing on the characters who are going to take the torch and run with it.
Right. Yeah, good point. The future of this was supposed to be in Utopia and all these other ones, and
we were supposed to focus on the Paragon and Chloe and like the rest of the, you know, Fitz and Chester and all these guys we were supposed to focus on, and Hutch, and we got like angsty brother, angsty son who's always stuck in daddy's shadow. We got a daughter who is the most powerful, the most flawed person in the entire story, and all they seem to focus on is her having sex scenes and doing drugs. That's it.
Right.
And then we have, you know, superhero adjacent Hutch, who has the coolest tool in the entire series and is able to, you know, teleport and teleport people and bring it back. And we're just seeing him kind of just like, we're going to do petty larceny, and then we're going to just jump to full larceny. And they didn't space it. They didn't space it right. And I don't think – I've kind of thought this way with Mark Miller's stuff, that he doesn't write women characters right. Everybody's either Lois Lane or a prostitute.
And Leslie Bibb's character is Lois Lane, and their daughter, oddly enough, is a very prostitute-y type of, I don't have any problem, but there is a lot of slut shaming in her character a little bit. And, we didn't even talk about the code. And when we just said, we'll talk about what's wrong, the code is stupid. So their central premise is garbage.
Yeah.
Like, they have this hard and fast, or Utopian creates his code because he's the leader after he, you know, has 20 psychotic breaks and everybody sticks around.
Yeah. Amazing how everybody was like, yeah, let's follow this guy into an island.
After the Great Depression, everybody's like, yeah, sure. Let's give him all our money and follow him around on a ship.
Yeah. Because of a dream.
But this code, I mean, they don't steer away from anything. The Holocaust still happened.
Yep.
Presumably, all the terrorist attacks still happen.
Yep.
Like, you know, all these, Vietnam, So what is this code? And is it only good for street criminals? Is that all we're saying? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's saying it's kind of like what the Eternals, the big joke about the Eternals are, they sat there and they watched the Avengers die and get zapped and they didn't do anything. This is like Batman's codes on steroids. Even at the end, like when Batman's about to break, he's like, I think I could kill the Joker. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he knows if you kill one, you can save millions. The Utopian, when they're fighting Black Star, which was probably the best part of this entire series, they're fighting Black Star and he's going to kill everybody. He's like, I don't know what he is, a monster with an enhanced human with like a nuclear bomb inside of him. And he's going to explode and go gamma on everybody. And the sun kills him. And Utopian is like, well, go to your room.
Yeah. Go back to the ranch. You're not allowed to leave.
Yeah. You're punished because you saved my life, your mother's life, and, you know, an entire country's life.
It is really the amount that this stupid code allows for everybody in the world to get away with, except apparently his daughter and his son. And his daughter's the only one going, yeah, this is stupid. This is so stupid. I got to take drugs to forget how dumb it is.
Yeah. It's the thing, like when I read the comics, the one thing that kind of stood out is that it seemed like he followed a specific template. You have Superman, you have Batman, you have these characters who have these codes and these morals. And then he just tried to tweak it a little bit to make it different than what's already been done. It's kind of like that meme where it says, show me, or can I copy your homework? And they're like, yeah, just make sure you do it a little bit differently. And it's like a guy in a hat, and the hat's forward, but the other guy's hat's backwards.
Well, that's the thing is, this is, I assumed it's supposed to be a parody of some sort. And, like, you know, like, I use Homelander, and I use The Boys because they are, you know, slightly askew from normal. They are, like, in the Justice League, they are like the the Omni, not Omni Man, Ultraman.
Yeah,
that universe where everybody's bad.
Yeah, like the crime syndicate.
Yeah, the crime syndicate. That's it.
Earth 3.
Owlman and or not Owlman, but yeah, Owlman. Whatever.
He's there.
Yeah. So that's kind of like The Boys is like the crime syndicate on steroids. Or you know, the Homelander and his group.
Yeah, Seven.
This is a parody, but it's a parody that doesn't go anywhere. It's a parody.
I don't even know if this is a parody. I think that this is Mark Miller trying to reinvent the wheel and say Marvel and DC are taking, you know, the lion's share of the profits. I want to get in on this. Let's launch an Image superhero group, and this was it. Yeah, and even like if someone's watching this and they're new to comics and they're new to this series and they're riding the superhero wave because, I mean, everything's getting an adaptation now. Where does Jupiter come into play in this? You know what I mean? Like, at least with Sweet Tooth, we know that the main character's name is Sweet Tooth. In this, even in season one that went 8 episodes, or it's not even season, what's it called? Volume one? Is that what he called it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever, stupid, whatever. It has to be different. The whole 8 episodes, there's no mention of Jupiter, and it ends on a cliffhanger, all for Netflix to say, well, yeah, this was too expensive for our budget and our wallet. You know, a company that comes out and, like, has all of the money, all of the streaming dollars.
You know, and doing a little bit of the research, this was... Let's say, you know, everybody, let's compare it to Marvel. All of Marvel's shows get at least, I think the lowest one was like $18 million an episode.
Yeah.
Per episode.
Yeah, I know WandaVision had a $200 million budget.
Yeah, but they were directly in, like this had $200 million budget, but it was reshoots, it was rejiggering, it wound up being twice as much as they originally wanted it, which is I think the problem is Netflix or the guy that created it asked for $12 million an episode, which still would have been cheap.
Yeah. And they bumped it down to 9.
Yeah, and they told him 9, which then, when you give them 9, we get the fake beards that we saw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And bad makeup and wigs.
And CGI.
And bad CGI.
That CGI was terrible. It was really bad. Yeah. This was... It kind of sat with me longer than it should have because I knew we were going to talk about it eventually. So I went back and watched some of the episodes again. This is October Faction bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not as bad, but it's bad. The problem I have with it is that it did well viewer-wise. Like, it was on top of the Nielsen rating the weekend that it came out. It's 72% on Rotten Tomatoes on fan score. I think it's like 33 on critic score, and I think that is why Netflix is kind of pulling the plug, because it seems like they are hyper-focused on critic scores.
That's enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomato critic scores.
Because,
which everybody is, and, you know, we've talked about how stupid that is before.
But look at the shows that we've liked, right? Daybreakers or Daybreak. That was high viewer, low critic. Mm-hmm. The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, another expensive property that could have went somewhere. Canceled. You know what I mean? October Faction, I mean, that was beyond itself. I think that was like a -6. But this, like, even the costume design for the second tier characters was bad. The first tier, like, I thought, like, Utopian suit was good. I thought Leslie Bibb's suit was good. I thought they were good. But once you got to, like, Brainwave's daughter, I was like, oh, this is where Mark Miller stepped in and said, make her look like Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
You know, just give her a Kevlar helmet.
Well, and the problem, well, you know, this is now, these are being watched in 4K, ultra, and at least, you know, and high def and 4K ultra. There's so much you could see wrong in, like, high def, 1080p, you know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable the amount of stuff that visually is wrong. The costumes look great. And they look good in that ultra high def and stuff like that, because you could see the whatever map that I couldn't sit through, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And you get to see that. But you all, like, in the same time, like, they had to have known that we were going to be able to see the seams on the beard.
Yeah.
The individual hairs poking out the silly fake beard. Have Josh Duhamel grow a beard. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure he can.
Yeah.
He's a 50-year-old guy. I'm sure he can grow a beard.
Yeah. I think that I wouldn't have had an issue with this had there not been, like, problems from the gate. You know, you talked about Stephen S. DeKnight, you know, Millville, New Jersey zone. So, you know, you want to pull for the guy. He did good with Daredevil. You know, he worked his way into this. He did a little bit of this. And then they're like, nah, we don't want you anymore. You're asking for too much. And they gave somebody else a shot. So when you have two mid-shooting the season, you have another showrunner come in. You know, it's destined. It's doomed to be failed.
Well, that's what I was talking about, is they had the other showrunner come in.
Yeah.
And they wound up rejiggering, reshooting, putting it up on the shelf where, you know, COVID aside. But this was put on the shelf for other reasons. So when you denied him that extra $3 million a show, and then you decided to get rid of him and hire a new showrunner, you just cost yourself double.
Yeah.
You know, went from his $12 million straight past that to like $15 million a show or whatever it turned out to be. You know, $20 million a show, I think, is the average.
Which is, I don't feel like we got $20 million in each episode.
No.
You know, we've talked about this on the podcast multiple times. I think Bat in the Sun's production on their quote-unquote fan films was better than this.
Yeah.
Which, you know, begs the question, why are they still not getting offered these roles? Because this, this would have been great for Aaron and Sean to take over and say, you know, we'll do this justice. We'll get the suits right. Maybe they don't want to work with Jason David Frank. Because he seems to be in everything. But is there anything that kind of stuck out to you that was positive about this experience? It's okay if there wasn't.
I don't think there... No.
Okay.
There wasn't. Here's the thing. Here's what sucks is, you know, you were talking about they got a couple weeks of good ratings.
Yeah.
I think that has, that's a, you know, that's the plus side and the negative side of the timing of coming out after or around the same time as Invincible and around the same time as the Boys end it.
Yeah, and right after Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Right. It kind of like, okay, well, let's ride this wave, and people go right from those properties to another streaming property. They know they can watch the entire thing because it's Netflix. Mm-hmm. So they watch all of it. And then they're like, whatever. So, you know, yeah, they go and, you know, it's got like a 6.2 or whatever on IMDb and, you know, a high score. I don't know where that comes from. I think that's like a bias. That's, it's kind of, you know, the people that are eh about it don't ever really vote. Yeah. It's, you know, it's either people that love or people that hate.
Yep.
Or are the ones that vote for something. There's not a lot of like mediocre votes. I hated it, but I don't vote for it. But, you know,
yeah,
that's not my kind of thing. But I would, you know, I can't think of anything that was good. Music was bad. Pacing was bad. Flashbacks were bad. Flashbacks were bad. Like, you're having a whole other show.
Yeah.
And it does, and like, it just, and during those flashbacks, the pacing is just grueling. It's slow and it's a slog.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, there's not enough action. Okay. There's not enough action to keep you going.
Yeah.
And definitely not enough good action, because a lot of the, you know, that CGI problems are, you know, basically by the end of it, it looks like, you know, two toys being bashed together, yeah, in front of a green, yeah, screen. So, or they show it, and I've seen better, like, fake, you know, punches thrown in wrestling, because
yeah,
they show punches not hitting. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The
stunt coordination wasn't up to par on this one. I'll say, right, you know, to play devil's advocate, because, you know, maybe Netflix is listening. Who knows? We seem to give the Galaxy Wars bump here and there. But I think that the main cast of, like, the older actors, Josh Duhamel, Leslie Bibb, Ben Daniels, Matt Lanter, I think that they performed well. I think that the only reason it's getting the scores that it did is because of their performance.
Yeah, I guess.
This is the best thing I've seen Josh Duhamel in. And I know he's been around for quite some time, and the only thing that comes to mind that I've seen him in besides this were the Dorito Nacho Fries commercials.
Casino? No. Well, whatever that show was, Las Vegas.
Yeah, but he was also in a Transformers movie at least once.
Oh, yeah.
True. Which, you know, low bar still, but...
There was a point somewhere where I literally, before I, like, we had talked, because I actually had a little bit of time. I rarely ever get, like, you know, a lot of bingeable hours, but I was, like, actually staying up late to watch this. I thought, this whole entire show is propped up on the acting ability of Leslie Bibb.
Yeah.
Like, she was the best actor in this whole thing. And that's not, I still didn't say a positive thing about it, because I don't think it was that great. I just think, I mean, I guess you could say Josh Duhamel. You know, when you talk about, if the flashback was so important, why not have all of those characters in the flashbacks just be who they are, and then their future selves? Why not hire older actors?
Yeah. All you did was, like, maybe give some crow's feet and, like, dyed their hair gray or put a really bad wig on people.
Right. Yeah. And a bad, you know, bad wig, bad beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't understand that.
I think, like, my issue is, one of my issues is that flashback did not need to last 8 episodes. That's one full episode. 53 minutes, one full episode. They get their powers. Maybe episode 4, they get their powers, and boom, we're right into it. And
Tell stories. Yeah, tell other stories.
Because they canceled the show. They this is the first time I think I've seen in the news that, you know, a company has released the actors from their contracts. You know, it's very sports-like when you're like, you got cut. And then they come out, Netflix comes out, or Mark Miller, whoever came out and said, well, this was intended to be an anthology series.
No,
exactly, because everybody who was cast that came out and said, well, Hulu, why don't you pick up this property? You know, we stand by our team, blah, blah, blah. You're just you're refusing to admit on Netflix's part that you had no faith in this show to begin with. You half-assed it, put it out there, and said, nobody will notice when we say it's going to be an anthology series and Super Crooks is next.
This didn't have enough star power to, like, to ride to hitch your wagon to and ride the show out. If you had a star in it, like a big star, you'd be like somebody that you'd be willing just to be like, all right, this isn't hitting, this isn't doing good, but I'm gonna just watch the whole thing because I watch their stuff.
I'm not flocking. So I don't know. I'm not flocking to Netflix for Josh Duhamel.
No. I don't know. I don't know what their next or the Super Crooks. You know, unless it comes up for us, I'm not gonna watch it.
Yeah, it's got to the point that I'm not really interested in any of the Miller stuff because I think it's just half-assed tactics of saying, you know, it was bad.
I'm so petty. I'm so petty that I get Netflix for free, and two other people in my house pay for it because they forget. So there's three ways for me to watch Netflix. Yes. I am thinking of pirating this show just so it doesn't go towards
Netflix.
Like if their Super Crooks comes out, I'm going to pirate it so they don't get a rating from me.
Yeah, and
because they don't deserve
it. And it sucks because like I truly enjoy Kick-Ass and Kingsman. I think Taron Egerton is fantastic. I'm a big fan of everything that he does. I'm looking forward to the next Kingsman chapter. But the stuff that's coming out on Netflix, like he's going to have Prodigy come out, that Sharky the Bounty Hunter, half this stuff I don't care about it anymore. I've read Prodigy, great book. I'm just going to stick to the book. This series, and this might be, you know, against brand for us, but this series made me question, is there too much superhero content being made?
Yeah.
I never thought I was going to do that. But at this point, like you said, you're just trying to get anybody who wants to play a superhero in this role. Like, even if it was Josh Duhamel as Utopian, what if they went out and they got somebody who's never been cast as a superhero, who's making these disaster movies, who's getting good ratings? What if Gerard Butler was Brainwave?
Right. That's the first person I was
going to. Bring him into this. He has a fan base. You know, women love Gerard Butler, so you're going to have people watching.
People watch his garbage movies, and they're garbage. And I watch his garbage movies.
Me too.
Because I like Gerard Butler.
Yeah, I saw Greenland.
I don't have any expectations for Gerard Butler. Huh? I know. Here's what I know about him. He drinks a lot.
Yeah.
But if you pay him money, he'll work out. Yeah.
And he's going to.
And he'll get in superhero shape.
And he will be drunk while he's shooting these movies, allegedly. Like, he would have been great. Charlie Hunnam could have been great in this. I know he's getting casted as somebody. He's the front runner to play somebody. I can't remember who it is. But, like, get somebody who has some star power. Ben Daniels, you know, great. He did great in this, but he's not bringing me. Like, I didn't watch this because it was Ben Daniels. I also didn't watch it because the voice of Anakin Skywalker, it plays a major part. You know, I think he did great, Matt Lanter. But I went to this because I knew that this was on brand for what we were going to talk about. And I was going to talk about it on two shows. And I read the books and I want to see how they translate. I think if it's something that I've read that I love the comics, I might not watch it anymore. Like if it's not Marvel.
Right.
But then there's like The Boys in Invincible, which, you know, they're like, that's great.
Well, okay. The Boys, I can't explain The Boys. I can't explain why they're as good as they are. They just are. You know, I'm not a huge fan of The Walking Dead, but Kirkman does know what he's doing. But Invincible, I do have it. I mean, Robert Kirkman's, you know.
Invincible is maybe the best superhero show aside from Marvel that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want it to get live action. And I know that that's the plan.
No.
But I wanted to, like, it made me think that so many of my favorite comic book shows should be animated. You know, yeah. Like, Saga should be animated. They shouldn't even touch that and turn that into a live action series.
Saga be such a confusing fever dream. Yeah. And you know, how many times are you guys going to be like, how high do I have to be? And how high was the person that made it?
I want that as a cartoon because you can truly turn page into screen. You know, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of gray area that you're not going to be able to put into even a rated R movie. You know, it's going to be an NC-17 and no one's going to see it.
The Saga kind of reminds me of, like, remember, what was the one that, what's her name, played? Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
You know, kind of reminds me of that kind of, like, it could get away with something around that kind of art and, or, you know, some, like, the metal TV shows and stuff like that could get good, right? But I don't know how else you would do Saga.
Yeah. It would be tough because, you know, the robot princes and that, all that stuff, it's going to be tough. But, you know, as I say that I'm not going to watch the superhero stuff that's based on the comic books that I love, I watched Sweet Tooth, completely different from the comics, but I absolutely loved it. And I highly recommend that to everybody. But let's kind of rate this. We can sit here and we can bash the series and waste our time like we did watching it, but we can get out of here, call us a short episode. Does this crack a zero for you?
Yeah, it's a zero. Okay. I can't think of a reason to give it any, like, there, it answers nothing for me. Like, I there's no interesting part that moves the scale anywhere.
Okay. I'm giving it a 2.5. That's super high. That's super generous. It's an average. It's in the middle, just because of how low I am with the CW stuff.
Okay. So, well,
it is what it is.
How the mighty have fallen, huh, with the CW.
It's crazy to see that a network that kind of launched podcasts for us before our love of these shows has really just turned into what it was when, you know, UPN was making television shows. Yeah. You know, it's Smallville all over again, where they're not able and they can't afford to catch up to the streaming services.
Right. And it's it's no long story arc. It's like whatever of the week. And
It's like when Smallville was out and, you know, TNT and Spike were finally out and they couldn't get those bigger budgets or they couldn't touch the more mature subject matter. Now we're at, you know, oh, I'm leaving because my heart's broken. I'll see you later, Barry. Like, I'm over it. But that's it, man. We'll get out of here. Collective 2.5 on a series that was supposed to launch a giant excursion and not an anthology series. This was going to launch a collective universe, but now it's turned into an anthology series.
Right.
We will be back at some point next week with an episode TBD. There's so much stuff out there. There's Sweet Tooth, Lucifer, Invincible, Without Remorse. There's Quiet Place 2.
Loki.
Loki's out. Yeah. There's maybe we'll do Loki. We'll double up on Loki. We'll do the first two episodes. We'll break that down.
Yeah.
So follow us on social.
What is your Loki?
Loki Lounge.
The Loki Lounge. Sir. All
right. Episode one's already out. We did that on Friday. Posted it on Saturday. It's got some fun Easter eggs and a ton of theories that I can't wait to share with you. But that's it. Follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars podcast. Listen to Active Geek every Monday and now Saturdays. We also have an MMA show on the podcast, on the network now, called Cage My IQ, which is the best place for MMA. That's their tagline. I'm on there every Thursday, breaking down the previews for the UFC fight nights and the pay-per-views. And, you know, if you want to hear me talk sports and get a little nerdy about that, you can. But follow us on social media. We'll be back next week talking Loki. Here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.